Amen.
Where do you all come from?
Guess we're live, Jenny?
Oh, we're live. Give them a sec. They're all excited. Okay. We got onliners in the house.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Huh? They're all the way from the M state, so.
Northern Virginia.
I did. Yeah, the M state. The one we don't give a about.
Happy belated. I want you to know I ordered chocolate icing, but they put white icing, so. I didn't want to cause a big scene. So you'll have white icing. But you did have chocolate.
And John Elbow teaching.
Well, hopefully it's the Lord.
Well, this is the...
I don't blame him. I say, this Greg Miller teaching.
Well, I got this information.
Check the word of the Lord to see if what John's saying is true.
I got this from him. No, I'm not. But as I teach, I'm hoping he's doing the teaching in your heart. Mm-hmm. It's got to be him teaching in your heart, not me.
Cool, though. This is what it'll be like when we all get to heaven.
Oh, amen. Wow, packed house today, huh?
Oh, yeah?
That's okay. Put
myself.
Okay. Well, welcome to BBF Ohio, where you may be normal when you come, but you won't be when you leave.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And praise the Lord. And shame on the devil.
Oh, I would say praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
And what?
Pass the ammunition.
Oh, I bet, yeah. Yeah, but don't shoot me. I'm part of the team. Now, I did hear some rumors out there that we have some people from up north at the M country. So, I'd like to give you a hearty greeting from Ohio. But I'd like you to know I'm a student of history. And the original land grant for Virginia went clear through Ohio and clear up through Michigan. All right, so I just consider us fellow Virginians, okay? That's the way to do it. So, fascinating. Well, we're in the book of Isaiah. We're in chapter 28. We're going to start with verse 19. I do have notes that go clear to the end of the chapter, but I'm looking at what notes I'd like to share with you, and I don't think we'll make it. So we'll probably stop at verse 22 as far as reading, and let's see how far we get with that little portion of scripture. The Word of God is amazing, and the biggest thing you should really take away from when you study the Word of God is that God puts His Word at the highest level. The Word of God at the highest level. And everything that Christ did was circled around the Word of God. The written Word of God. And in my devotions this morning, I just finished off Luke 24. And He kept telling them over and over and over. And He's the one that opens up the heart to the Scriptures for the understanding. And He started with the two disciples going to Emmaus. And He starts with them, and He starts with Moses and goes all the way through the whole Scriptures, showing where He's located at and how all the Scriptures fulfill His destiny to be the Savior of the world.
I'd like to hear that conversation.
That had been fascinating. Mm-hmm. I looked up the word Emmaus, and it means mule. And so I thought it was fascinating. You've got two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which is the word mule, and mules cannot reproduce. Simply cannot reproduce. And what happened when they came in contact with the Lord? They got off that road and went to Jerusalem. And from there is where the disciples multiplied. So don't stay on the road of Emmaus. Get to where the Lord can put you in a place where you can reproduce for His glory.
What was the with the mules and Emmaus?
I think the word Emmaus means mule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The word mule is not mentioned in the New Testament.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. I didn't want to get confused.
Yes. Well, feel free to throw a few on there, because this is a, it's a, I learned a few other things today just studying the text here that we're going on to. Well, let's go ahead and start with verse 19. Let's only go down to verse 23, even though that opens up the next section there. I'll read the odd, and you guys can read the even. Starting with verse 19. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning it shall pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to be under, to understand the report.
For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it.
For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act.
Now therefore, be not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth.
Give ye ear, and hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech. Wow. What a book. Amen.
What?
All right, Doug, if you don't mind opening up our time of studying God's Word.
We thank you, Lord, for this time. We especially are so happy our friends came here from Michigan and to enjoy and spend some time with us. And we love them to pieces, and we love visitors.
Amen.
John, and later on give the pastor what to say and what to do, and to bring the Spirit to us. We thank you for this day and time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Right, in verse 19 here, what we have here is God's description of sending the Assyrians in to punish Israel for their lack of obedience to the word of God. And if you notice in the last part, it says it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. They were living ungodly lives before the Lord. The Lord had sent his prophets to tell them, you're not obeying the book, repent. And I'll have mercy upon you. And again, they continued to not repent. They continued, as we found in verse 14 in the same chapter. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord. Again, that's the centerpiece of anything you study out of this book. That's the centerpiece. I've had two former pastors tell me that the name of Jesus is more important than the word of God. And I don't think they should be in the pulpit. Because the word of God is more important than the name of Jesus. If you don't have the word of God, then you don't know what Jesus they're talking about. Because if it doesn't match the scripture, it's not the same. It is not the same Jennifer.
Well, then there is also the verse that itself says that. Thy word is to be exalted above all thy name.
Right. Psalm 138:2.
And he's getting a new name anyway.
He exalts the word above everything. It's the word of God that exalts the name of Christ. And if you don't have that as the foundation, then Jesus could be anything. In fact, if you go into all those apostate churches, the name Jesus can mean something totally different. Mixed marriages. You know, you can go off in doctrine so weird and strange, you don't even recognize that it's a church of the Lord. And here it says it'll be a vexation. The word vexation comes from the word irritation, to be vexed. Also is connected with the word melancholy, to be sad. is connected with the word bitterness. I did a word study of bitterness one time in Scripture. I had over 20 different descriptive words. Sarcasm is another word for bitterness. So when God says, I'm going to bring the army in, I'm going to bring in Assyria, they're going to judge you. Vexation, there's all sorts of words that mean you're going to be irritated, you're going to be sad, you're going to be destroyed. You're not going to have one moment thinking everything is going to be nice and cheery again. They had deserted the word of God. They had forsaken their Lord. And it says here, only to understand the report. God was trying to emphasize to them, get back in the book. Get back in the book. And they refused. If we go to Psalm 119, let me just read for you a couple of quick verses out of Isaiah 19, 119.
While you turn that, I just want to mention it was one time with this fellow's in the ministry. He was collecting money so that he could run ads in the newspaper, and all it would say is Jesus. And then I think they might have given a website, but I don't even think they had a website at that time. It's just he wanted to get the name of Jesus around the world. And I said, you know, you need to specify who you're talking about. He says, everybody knows Jesus. I said, half the men in Mexico are named Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
and the Mormon Jesus and the Jehovah's Witness Jesus, obviously there's false messiahs too, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, you guys won't believe this, but Jill and I live next door to Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for a while, it was two Jesuses that we lived next door to.
Yeah, and when my dad was in the military and we lived over in Germany, believe it or not, we lived above the clouds. We was on the third floor, they was on the second. So we told everyone we lived above the clouds.
The people thought ZZ Top was being blasphemous in their song. They said, Jesus just left Chicago, he's bound for New Orleans. And they asked me, they said, there's a man named Jesus. There's a real guy named Jesus. So you better be careful what Jesus you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Word of God defines who he is, what he does. Defines everything, defines his power. Defines the time when he cries. And there are times when he cries.
Amen.
He wept over Jerusalem, Luke 19:41. He cried because they refused, just like in our text here, the people in Jerusalem refused to acknowledge him as Lord. They refused the salvation. They refused. They had the book and did not know the Lord. And sad to tell you, I'd say at least 90% of the homes in America, especially the United States, have Bibles. And yet the people don't know the Jesus that's in that Bible. They have no clue who he is. Spend time to get to know him. Don't put your eyes on Pastor Miller or put it on me and say, wow, look what they know. No, it's not what we know. We're just sharing with you what we've found. You can get in the book and you can learn the same stuff. You can even learn other things I'd like to know about. There's no way I'll ever conquer this book. This book conquers me.
Every Wednesday we're doing a 5-minute devotional about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a look at Psalm 119. And let's start with verse. We could pick out any verses in here. But the first verse I'm going to share with you, I cringe every time I look at it. The whole of Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. And in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. That is the best commentary for verse Isaiah 28:19. That's what God was trying to get a point to him. You guys are going to come into affliction. And you're going to go into captivity. Don't forget my word. And once you get a hold of it, I'll bring you back. I will bring you back to the land that I promised you. Before I was afflicted, I was astray. But now have I kept thy word. The writer of this verse understood what it means to stray from God. And then finally understands the bad things that happened to him was for the purpose of getting him back into the Word of God. Next one, 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. When you come under affliction, that's the time to pray to the Lord. Quicken me. That means make me alive again to your word. The word revival means to live again in his presence. And America is not living in God's presence. They are not. And this verse is a testimony for it. Let's take a look at verse 120. My flesh trembleth for thee, and I am afraid of thy... The group of people we're talking about in Isaiah 19 are not fearful. They had agreement with death. Nothing is going to happen to them. They had agreement with different groups around themselves. And I hate to tell you, there's a lot of people in high up places in America that have agreements with other countries and other corporations, things around the world. And the moment the United States collapses, they're going to lose everything. And they're going to say, wait a minute, we had an agreement. It doesn't matter a thing. When there was a guy called John Huss, when you study history, and the Catholics hated him. They really hated him. So they sent him a messenger and wanted to talk with them. So John Huss had to make an agreement that they would not touch him or hurt him. And they said, okay, come on down. The moment he stepped into the city, they bound him up and burned him at the stake. He had an agreement, and they didn't keep it. The unsaved people do not keep agreements.
Right.
Jill and I worked at McDonald's for over 27 years. One of the stories that you won't hear is McDonald's, when they built their first store, I think it was in Shanghai, their first McDonald's store, they had a 10-year agreement with the Chinese government for the property they built the store on. After 30 days, the communist Chinese government came to them and said, you've got to tear it down. And they said, no, we don't have to. And they waived the agreement. We have a 10-year agreement with you. They said, you have 30 days to tear it down or we're going to bulldoze it. What did McDonald's do, guys? They tore it down. They had to. They're going to be bulldozed. The Chinese did not keep their agreement. That's the same thing with this group that we find in Isaiah 28. They had an agreement, and it did not pan out. Another quick verse out of Psalm 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Now, we can pray that ourselves here in the United States. I imagine this is what the prophet Isaiah was praying. This is what the other prophets during that time was praying about Israel. Lord, look here. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Now that's a reference to the Ten Commandments. That means they weren't keeping the Sabbath. That means adultery was rampant everywhere. That means they had abortion in those days. Just study it out. They had their own form of abortions. And that was
infanticide.
Infanticide. They had their own ways where they throw babies to the false gods and they had them burned up. You know, they lied. Just like ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and all those guys.
And the people who steal elections and then look you in the eye day after day and say it's the most secure election in American history.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Same identical group. The people there were communists in those times. If you guys want to see, there's two chapters in the Bible that is great for the news report for today. That's Isaiah chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1. Those two, you can discern all the news that's going on because that's exactly what's happening here in our midst. Another verse, and this will make this the last one here out of Psalm, but you can have fun with all these. It's a great study. 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Johnny.
I think the distinction we have between abortion in the past and abortion now is, again, the only real difference between the past and the present, which is technology.
Yeah, totally it.
You know, back then they weren't able to take the baby out without killing the mother, as far as we know.
Well, they did. They could. And there was more danger for the woman. But they did. And that's why the Hippocratic Oath had in it that they would not provide. The word is like abortion of tis or something like that. Abortion of tis.
Abortives.
Abortives, that's it. Because they had potions just like pharmacy. You know, RU486 bill.
Yeah, like they had the same thing in potions. They used to give them blood thinners.
Okay. Yeah. Different ways that they would induce a false delivery, early delivery. Wow. If the baby wasn't dead, then they would kill it. Which is what they're voting to do in other places now, that if the baby's born alive, they'll still let it die.
Yeah. Very sad. I've told you before, the other sex I don't think I'll get to deals with farming. This is a great sex that Pastor Mel probably take up that one. But I work on a farm for the last 6 months. I wish everyone could work on a farm. Just for a year. You'll have a tender heart. You'll have a tender heart. When you see the things that happen daily on a farm, you won't think, oh, they got it made or everything's easy. When you see the cows are sick, if the cow lays on its side, it's going to die because the stomach bloats up with gas. They have to get it back on its feet. And I've seen that happen. They've had the calves attacked by, coyote ate a third of it and left it. Mm. You know, you wake up in the morning and that's no fun. The one guy with the chickens, okay? Raccoons came in and ate all but one chicken. Where's your eggs going to come from now? I mean, or the one cat they had to amputate the leg to. I mean, aww. Your heart just breaks. Yeah.
The one at the party?
Yeah, so I just told you some of these stories there. The machinery, it's time to harvest. And now all of a sudden, there's things broken and fall apart. And now to get the parts, you've got to travel an hour to 2 hours away to get the parts. On the one machine, he needed a drive shaft for a John Deere tractor. John Deere didn't have any in stock. 50 states, and John Deere has no drive shafts at all. He can't even order it. So he had to go to a junkyard to find one. Now, what's wrong with John Deere? And then you guys up there, you haven't heard this, but Bill Gates of the computer, he is buying up all the John Deere franchises on the eastern half of the United States. He's buying them. And if the people won't sell to him, he contacts the headquarters, and John Deere tells the franchise, sell to him or we yank your license. That's blackmail. Guys, that's not America. But there's so much blackmail going on behind the scenes. When I first came to Columbus, I found out that our capital, downtown capital, I used to live at the YMCA on Long Street down there. Guys, I used to work at the Nail House, which is not there now, but that's where I found out all the stuff on how Columbus was being run. Our capital was running two whorehouses for the representatives, for our senators and House legislatures in our own city. The Democrats was running one a couple of blocks from Watergate. And so they lure these people in there, they snap the pictures, and then they blackmail them. And then you wonder, well, why did I send him to Washington and he doesn't vote the right way? Because he's under blackmail. That's why. We need to really pray. There's a lot of iniquity. And what I'm sharing with you, what's happening here in Ohio, is the same identical thing, again, happening in Israel. Israel is no different than we are. Even though they're the chosen people, they have flesh and blood, they have a sin nature. Same group today still has the same sin nature. And it's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can make a difference. That's the only thing that can make a difference. Again, Psalm 160, thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. When you read the first five books, God told the Jews, here's how I'm going to bless you. But when you go off the path, here's what I'm going to do to attack you and try to bring you back. Look here. The same is true with us today. here's heaven, and here's Christ with the gospel. But if you want to reject it, here's hell over here. It don't matter what agreements you make, that's where you're headed at. You need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess one of the witty sayings I leave with verse 19, and we'll move on, is when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's easy to forget you came to drain the swamp. When you're up to the neck with the Syrians running around, destroying everything, it's a sad reminder you should have been obeying the word of God. That's what should have been happening.
This will be true in the tribulation, the double application.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, we get to that when we, hopefully we get to the word consumption, because that's over the whole world. That's happening even now as we speak. Okay, verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than he can wrap himself in it. In other words, a person that has a short bed with a blanket that doesn't cover himself is uncomfortable. You are vexed. You're irritated. Now, I would like to tell you this. When I was a teenager, my mom separated from us at the age of 12. And so the three of us kids lived with my dad. My sister was the shortest one. And I also had a brother. My sister was the shortest. Why did she get the bigger bed? She had the biggest bed.
She was a girl.
I was the tallest. I was the tallest one. I was the tallest, but I got the shortest bed.
Was this your dad's decision?
Helped you make you the man you are today.
Now, here's the square of a bed, okay? I had to sleep diagonally. Because I was bigger than the bed.
I think Charlie's 6'7".
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he always had to sleep diagonally.
Yeah. So I have empathy for this verse right here.
Yeah,
I know what it's like. Now, said it, it's short with a short blanket trying to cover you up. The house we had a coal stove. And I know that probably doesn't ring any bells with hardly anybody. My job in the morning was to go to the coal cellar, get a bucket of wood, get a newspaper and a bucket of coal and start the fall, you know, to get the house warm. There was no heating on the upstairs floor. So we used to wonder how cold it was upstairs, so we put a thermometer up there. In the wintertime, it got down to 48. So when you read the stories of people in Europe and north part of America and Canada, cold, I know what it's like when it goes down to 48. And you really wrapped yourself up. You got that extra blanket and wrapped yourself up.
This is in both cases, but in the end time application, they'll be on the run and they'll be in the wilderness where it gets really cold at night. They're not going to be carrying their beds with them. They're going to have to make beds where they can find them. Their covering will be whatever they're probably wearing, a coat which won't cover them completely up. So that's what they're going to be.
Oh, exactly. Same application. Verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, that sounds like a very strange verse until you do some studying. So I had to look up the word Perazim, Perazim, right? And I had to figure out what in the world was that. And so there are two stories connected with it. The word Perazim means the breaking forth of water, or like a breach, or it's like a dam breaks, there goes all the water out. Okay, there's a gap. And in the Bible, it's connected to Baal. And so Baal worship was part of the Phoenician gods. And so I had to look up where it was, Phoenicia. Because the maps in my Bible here are terrible. I can tell you a teacher did not do these maps. I have a book from 1809 on Bible maps. And I like that one. Because it tells you exactly where everything is at. There's no question marks as to where something was. It shows you right here, and it gives you detail. And I'm thinking, why is it in 200 years we've lost that? And we have these crazy maps that you can't hardly figure anything out of. So I looked it up. If you know where Tyre and Sidon is on the Mediterranean, on Israel, follow that all the way up to Laodicea up in Turkey. That was Phoenicia. And that was their god. And then I found out that this false god of Baal was also the god of the Philistines. All right? The Philistines was the one of the groups that was kicked out of the Promised Land, knocked out. But then I find out that it was also from Moab. Moab also had Baal. And Moab, you know, was Lot's grandson. And so you have to figure, how did the Philistines get it? They had to have been conquered by the Phoenicians. And somehow the Phoenicians had to have done something to the Moabites and also to the Ammonites. There's a good train of study right there that I'll share with you. But it mentions Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Let's take a look at, for understanding this, let's take a look at 1 Chronicles 14, 8 to 17. First Chronicles, 14. Verses 8 to 17. This has to do with David. And it's fascinating that this is the reference made with Perazim. Starting with verse 8. And when the Philistines, remember they're the one who worshiped Baal, heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. And that's where you get that term at. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, notice the Philistines, that's the little idols of Baal that they had. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Meaning, they didn't learn their lesson the first time. They're going to try again at David. Therefore, David inquired again of the Lord, and God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee, despite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. That is the work of God. David never lost a single battle he ever fought in. Not one. Why? Because he never had a battle plan. He always prayed, says, Lord, what's your plan? You tell me what your plan is to defeat these guys. God gave him the plan every single time. I don't know wherever you're at in this country, and if you can hear this, God has a plan. Pray, ask him, Lord, what's your plan? Because my plan is not working. I can't do anything anyway. I need your help. What's your plan? and then listen for him. Watch for him. He has the plan. David, if he was a Ohio State football coach, he would never lose a single game. His record would be 1,000-0. Okay? And, or if he was a Michigan coach. Okay? If he was a Michigan coach, his record would be 1,000-0. If you're going into war against whether it's the Chinese or the Russians or the Germans or anyone else, that's the guy you want to stand behind. You want to know the guy in front of you got the plan and you're going to win. The other story that's connected to it is with Joshua. And that's Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Now, I have in my notes the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read parts of it just to give you the idea. There's, in verse 1, now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, notice, king of Jerusalem, I think that probably make him a picture of the Antichrist, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. So what this king of Jerusalem does is he gets four other kings with him, and he says, let's attack Gibeon. Let's wipe them out. Totally wipe them out. Well, Gibeon was smart, although we don't like how they were smart, but they had agreement with Israel so that if anyone attacked them, Israel had to come to their rescue. So,
And they made that deal. Joshua made that deal with the Gibeonites without consulting the Lord.
Consulting the Lord. Exactly. Without praying. He did not pray. In fact, there was a couple of times. Ai was the other battle he did pray. Guys, it pays to pray. It pays to pray. Know ahead of time. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. And that's in reference. He's now in prayer, and God says, those five kings, bye-bye. I'll take care of them for you. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with the great slaughter of Gibeon, and chased them along the way they goeth up to Beth-oren, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and when they're going down to Beth-oren, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they with whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. In both these stories, you want to take note that God is doing the work. Enemies of Israel, and God is doing the work to wipe them out. Prayer has been made, and God intervenes and knocks them out. If you notice in the word for hailstones, when we get back to chapter 28, we find the hailstones and the breaking forth of water found again in verse 17 of Isaiah 28. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Guys, the same hail he used against the enemies of Gibeonites, he's going to use against Israel. That's why it's called the Strange Act. And the waters, which he used with David to wipe out the Philistines, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Both stories connected in that one verse. Johnny.
So just had an interesting thought on this. You know, in some of the movies and shows we watch, in order to have a character that's righteous but without having them be connected to God in any way, they usually try to say they'll never kill anybody, or that killing is wrong in absolutely every situation.
Right.
But what we're reading here should prove how bogus that is, because God is the most righteous person ever, and there are plenty of places where he does the killing.
Yeah.
And he's not any less just or righteous because of it.
So back at verse 21, where it says that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. In other words, the people of Israel, God is supposed to be the main center of the worship. And here God is going to turn against them with the Assyrians. And that work that he did against their enemies, he's now going to do to them. Now, how scary is that? Before I went astray, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. That verse goes through me all the time. Johnny.
Just to confirm, so in other words, the strange act here is the supernatural way God fights sometimes.
Exactly.
Like the hailstones, like we just read about.
Okay, 22. Now therefore, be ye not mockers. Now notice we said the word scornful means mocking. And that was in verse 14 of Isaiah. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. Part of being a scorner is mocking, making fun of. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. The band here is a reference to the slavery. In other words, if you guys don't repent, I'm not only just going to bring the Assyrians in, they're going to haul you away and you're going to be slaves. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. So I looked up the word consumption. It means the act of consuming. It means waste. Destruction by burning. Eating, devouring, scattering. Slow decay. Passing away like time. As the consumption of fuel. America is supposed to have 50 million gallons of diesel going into the winter. They only have 20 million gallons. That's called consumption. And that 20 million is going to go quick. Consumption, food. When you start seeing the food shelves in America, empty, that's called consumption. And God says, I've got a consumption and the end times on the whole earth. That's the end time connection we have with the passages out of Isaiah 28. In medicine, it's a wasting of the flesh, a gradual decay of the body, disease, illness. What more can we say with what's going on here in the world with HIV and all the other crazy diseases that are passing around? That's called consumption in the eyes of God.
Monkeypox.
Huh? This book is so relevant to all the things that are going on today. And the next verse about hearing the word of God is connected with the farming, but we could also end with it. Again, here, real quick, we'll end with this. Give your ear. We know in Psalm 94:9, we found out God created the ears so we can hear the word of God. And hear my voice. The voice is the word of God. Hear the word of God. The word of God. We have right here in the Authorized King James 16:11. And then the last part, and hear my speech. Those are the messengers, the prophets, that was teaching and preaching the word of God. Hear my speech, repent, and be ye reconciled to the Lord. And that's the whole message of Scripture. That's an incredible book. And spend time in it. There's nothing in the Old Testament you can't understand, whereas you can't use it to understand what's going on in your daily life, and of course, with prophecy that's coming up. Darren, do you mind closing this with a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for our time together in the study. I want to thank you for allowing me to be able to hear on the way here. Got a pretty good connection, so we're able to study along with the brethren. Thank you for the rest of the people who made it here safely, and we look forward to having another Bible study here in about 15 minutes.
Amen.
All right, onliners. See you in a bit. Go get your tea. I already did.